The Art Spot with Art Minius on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com. A wonderful show today with Sue Klausmeier and Pam Baker from Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus. We will be discussing the Genius of Mozart program happening next Saturday, May 31st at UNC's beautiful Memorial Hall. Four soloists, orchestra, 115 chorus member, all on campus at Memorial Hall next Saturday at 8 p.m. This sounds like a wonderful program, y'all.
Well, thanks for having us today, Art, and we are very excited about it. Of course, the star of the show is Mozart, and we think we have a very important, interesting edition of the wonderful Requiem, and look forward to talking with you about that, and also just about the composition of the Requiem itself. I have my friend and fellow singer here, Pam Baker, an alto in the chorus. And
hi, Art.
Welcome to the Art Spot, Pam.
Have us here today. Yeah.
So you're an alto who's been singing all your life.
I've been singing whatever anyone needed for me to harmonize with. So sometimes that's been alto, and sometimes that's been second soprano. So on this particular piece, I'm singing alto because I sang it a while ago and wanted to do it again as an alto.
Indeed. Well, that takes us immediately to one of the most fascinating points to talk about, that you did the Robert Levin edition of the Requiem at its Southeast premiere in Atlanta back in the 1990s?
1998.
Yeah.
And this was in conjunction with the Emory choristers. It was part of a commemoration of the 30th anniversary of Martin Luther King's death. And we actually did it in the theology school. So we included some prayers with it, which is not an unusual thing to see when you're going to a concert of the Mozart Requiem.
Yeah.
So it was quite meaningful and a wonderful experience. Yeah. I also want to say that Robert Levin came to our dress rehearsal that night and explained a lot of the decisions that he made. But Sue can talk more about Robert Levin.
Well, what a wonderful opportunity to have sung this even in rehearsal in front of Robert Levin. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Klausmeier, how did you come to select the Robert Levin edition of Requiem?
Well, this is the second time I've conducted the Requiem with the Chapel Hill Chorus, formerly called the Chapel Hill Carborough Community Chorus, and now called Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus. First time we did the Zusmeier edition, which is perhaps the most frequently performed edition. But Robert Levin, well-known musicologist on the faculty at Harvard, a person who is renowned for his improvisations in the classical style and has made numerous recordings and as a well-known lecturer, decided that what he wanted to do was not to revise the Requiem so much as to look at the original sources again and look at the structure of the work and some of the orchestration, which seems a little heavy-handed, some of the grammatical errors, things like perfect parallel fifths and things that composers who spend a lot of time working with music would want to avoid. And perhaps Zusmeier would have changed those things himself had he not been in such a rush to finish the original work. But anyway, Levin commands a certain amount of respect, of course, because of his involvement with music for so many years. So people who know the Requiem well from those that edition by Zusmeier will find a few surprises in this, but a lot of it will sound similar. Perhaps the orchestration will sound like it's been lightened. Some of the clarity of lines may come through a little more. People who play the trombone will notice the trombone parts have been rewritten, particularly in that tuba mirum section. One major change that people might notice is that he has written an Amen fugue. Now, Mozart left some sketches for an Amen fugue, but Zusmeier chose to ignore them. I don't know why, but in his edition, there are just two chords, amen. And Robert Levin felt that it needed an extension there. And so he took those Mozart sketches and completed a non-modulating fugue that will come at the end of the Lacrimosa. Many people know that the story that the Requiem was not completed when Mozart died in December of 1791, and that a good third of it was completed by his former pupil associate, Zusmeier. And that's a very interesting story in itself. But Pam said that she had an experience singing the Levin edition in 98. It was completed in 96. And I first was introduced to it at a choral workshop in Carnegie Hall. And I'd been going to a number of those. They were held in the 90s with Robert Shaw as the leader. And he died in 1999. In the year 2000, the workshop continued, and the conductor that year was James Conlin. And this entire concert was devoted to the Mozart Requiem, and we came together and learned that piece to perform, and also we did two shorter works by a contemporary, later more romantic composer, Zemlinsky. But the concert was dedicated to Shaw, and it was just a very meaningful experience to study that work and hear a sort of a fresh reading of it. So I'm pleased to offer this addition to our choristers, and I hope that people in the community will find it interesting as well.
Indeed. Well, it has to be with such you two having deep and different personal connections yeah. with the addition is really quite remarkable. Now, I was happy to notice, did you originally work in the Zusmeier edition at Montreat in 1991?
That's right. I was Pam and I met last week and just talked through some of our memories of the Requiem, and it was interesting to sort of look through the files again. But I sang in 1991 at the Montreat Music and Worship Conference, and Ann Howard Jones, who was the conductor that week for the major choir work, and she was an associate, a protege of Robert Shaw, and a person I admired greatly. She was conducting the choir. I auditioned and was chosen as the alto soloist. So that was, a really wonderful experience. I'd never sung it before, and I had to go find a church piano and learn those solos.
Indeed. Well, we are into a discussion of the Genius of Mozart, a concert by Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus on Saturday, May 31st at Memorial Hall on the UNC campus, 8 p.m., and we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelborough.com. Visiting today with Dr. Sue Klausmeier and Pam Baker, talking about Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus, presenting The Genius of Mozart, 8 p.m. on Saturday, May 31st at UNC's Memorial Hall. How can folks get more information or tickets about the concert?
Well, as you mentioned, Art, the concert's in the beautiful Memorial Hall on UNC campus, and we use their box office, so you can buy tickets at the concert or in advance through the box office. Also, chorus members would have tickets. The ticket price is $20 for adults and $6 for students. The performance will last about 90 minutes, between 85 and 90 minutes, and it will be performed without intermission.
Very good. Let's delve back into a little more story of Mozart's Requiem and the edition. As you mentioned in the first segment, he passed away along about Beethoven's 21st birthday with this piece incomplete.
Correct. He was commissioned. It was rather a mysterious commission by a count whose wife had died at a young age of 20. Count Valsic, and he was an amateur composer himself, and he wanted to purchase from Mozart a requiem that he could perform in her memory. And his intention was to pass this off as his own work. And perhaps that wasn't as unusual in those days. They weren't having lawsuits about intellectual property, but that was the idea. And so Mozart set to work on that. He was also working on two operas at the time. And so a busy person. When he fell ill in December of 1791, the work wasn't complete. His wife had, and he had received an upfront payment, maybe a down payment of sorts, advance money on the Requiem. And if she wanted to get the rest of the money, she had to pull together the entire work and present it to the Count pretty quickly. So she scurried around and talked to other students and associates of Mozart and finally settled on Zusmeier, who had been a pupil of Mozart's. And he was engaged to complete it. So he had some of Mozart's handwritten notes. Perhaps he had talked with him about other parts. Maybe Mozart sang him some lines. You know, it's unknown. But he completed it, and she presented it to the Count and received the payment. So ever since that particular edition has been performed more than any other. But musicologists through the years have debated on, you know, would Mozart have done it this way? Yeah. It doesn't look like the Mass in C, or it doesn't look like other liturgical works that he has written. I'm sure if he were alive, he wouldn't have done this. So other people have tried their hand at additions, and a couple of others have received traction and had recordings and many performances, one by Bayer and another by Maunder. One of Bayer did some rewriting of his own. Maunder did some amputations of movement. So it's quite different. But as we mentioned, we're going to be reporting the Robert Levin edition. And he tried not to tamper with most of the parts that we know and love from so many years of its performances. But he's made some very interesting editorial changes, and I think people will be very pleased to hear the clarity of the orchestral lines, and hopefully that kind of clarity and precision from the chorus as well.
Now, Pam, you've only done the Levin edition, correct?
That's right. I don't even know any other version, so it's my favorite.
Excellent. And you're the only one in the chorus who's done the Levin
apparently
before?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So one time we were rehearsing Lacrimosa, and Pam stood up and said, "And Mozart only wrote 8 measures, and then the rest of it is somebody else." And that was true in that
moment.
Well,
it intrigues me. I had heard that one particular line was the last line of music he ever wrote. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I had heard, and that's very intriguing to me. And the piece is so sacred to me in a way. Sue was asking me about singing it for the second time, and I think it's like entering almost for me into a cathedral in a way. It's the first time you're just dazzled, but the second time it feels almost sacred, really, and especially in the way that he wrote it, being the end of his life.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to say it, Pam, and this is a fascinating intellectual area that spills into almost any kind of art and creativity when the original creator doesn't live or isn't able to create the work, whether it's prose, poetry, music, or even the university's golf course out here. Finley Golf Course had 3 holes later, but the one that was replaced a few years ago by the current course had 3 holes put in a later time, not by the original architect, who was one of some renown, and there is always speculation and rumors about who designed those other 3 holes, and legends of whether the great golfer Jack Nicklaus had designed those. It turned out to be his son designed them, so that wasn't off completely off. But where does the original artwork end and the completion begin? What does art mean? How does someone's original vision pass into the hands of another person who cannot possibly have the exact same vision that the creator did?
That's true. That's an interesting story. I hadn't heard that one before. Yeah. Pam is one of the altos in our chorus, and the chorus is comprised of people with all kinds of professions. Pam herself had a degree in art, and then was a therapist of some sort, but
family therapist.
Mm-hmm. But people, who have sung in high school or sung in college, find this a very meaningful addition to their week to do something that's fun and challenging. And this music is certainly challenging. It's a lot, has a lot of the complex fugal writing, and it's very dramatic. So there's fire and brimstone, as well as some lovely comforting moments. I think it has an intellectual impact as well as a dramatic impact that's profound.
Indeed. And we are talking with Pam Baker and Dr. Sue Klausmeier about Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus, presenting The Genius of Mozart Saturday, May 31st, next Saturday, 8 p.m. at UNC's lovely Memorial Hall. If you hadn't seen Memorial since it was reinvigorated a few years back, you owe yourself a trip to our primary campus venue, because it is in much better shape than back in my undergrad days. And we'll be right back on the Art Spot after this. Welcome back to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelborough.com. Talking today with Pam Baker and Sue Klausmeier about Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus concert, The Genius of Mozart, next Saturday, May 31st, 8 p.m. at UNC's Memorial Hall. Tickets are available through the UNC Memorial Hall box office. Before we went to the break, Dr. Klausmeier was talking about how the Chapel Hill Chorus Voices consists of people from so many different walks of life united in wanting to present often fairly challenging choral works together. Pam, what, as a lifelong singer and a member of Voices, what does singing mean to you?
Singing is just one of the most important things to me, and I've always sung, but I haven't always sung in a choir, a chorus, except maybe at church. And I got involved more in choruses when my children were in high school and were singing in choruses, and I felt like I should be able to do that too, so I joined one. And one of the first things I felt in singing and actually practicing, rehearsing weekly with a group of people, all of who are singing in harmony, is I have this metaphor. If you know what a magic eye picture is, with the pointillist flat, if you just look at it from the front, it looks absolutely flat. But if you focus on it in a certain way, it opens up into this 3D picture that pulls you in, and you're in a completely different world. And if you don't know what a magic eye is, I would say check it out to see what I'm talking about, because this is what singing in a chorus is for me. If you just listen to it one time, it's lovely, it's beautiful, but the more you actually sing, the more you're pulled into a world that is just magical.
Yeah.
So that's what it means to me.
That's beautiful, Pam. You really go into the art itself. It is such a powerful experience for people to sing together. And when you do it as a group with rehearsals and a leader, it deepens the experience even more.
Yeah, that common experience is really powerful. I did want to say a word, if we have just a second here, about our four soloists who are coming, because they're all just excellent. Our soprano solo, and two of them have, three of them, I guess, have Chapel Hill connections, and they may have fans in the neighborhood who need to come out and hear them. Our soprano soloist is Molly Quinn, and her family, of course, lived here in Chapel Hill a long time. Her father is an organist, choir master at Chapel of the Cross, Van Quinn. And then the mezzo is Joanna Rushi, who is a UNC graduate, and all of these have extensive resumes of singing, but Joanna has a beautiful, velvety voice, and I'm very excited that she'll be joining us. She'll be back from the Palm Beach Opera Young Artist Program to join us. Dana Wilson is the tenor, and I heard Dana and Lewis Moore, our bass baritone, singing in a choral concert, and they each had an important part to play in that, and I went up and talked to them afterwards and about the Mozart Requiem, and they were both available, and they'll be a great addition to it.
Very good. The Genius of Mozart by Voices, the Chapel Hill Chorus, Saturday, May 31st, 8 p.m., Memorial Hall on the UNC campus. Thanks, Pam and Sue, for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Art.